Welcome to the podcast at Life Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. To learn more about our church, visit us at lifecommunityaz.com or join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, you got your bulletin out, and it's Jonah. Who remembers hearing Jonah and the whale when you were a little kid? And Jonah, I have a pastor friend, it's not me, but Charles Simpson. Anybody ever heard of Charles Simpson way back in the day? Anyway, Simpson thought he was going to a radio program to be interviewed. And so that's where the guy asks you questions and you answer them, and it's kind of an interview. And Simpson says as he was sitting there, the announcer gave him this huge introduction and said, at this time, Charles Simpson's going to come with a powerful word from the Lord, and take it, Brother Simpson. And he stands there and he said he was flat-footed, had nothing prepared, and the only thing that could come to his mind was Jonah. And so I'm not there today, but I want to talk about Jonah. Now, Jonah is also, we have a runner. You know, when we started the school at Leading Edge, we were on Gilbert Road, and I remember Jessica Darley was our kindergarten teacher and our principal, and one day a kid got out the door and took off, and I heard through the halls, we have a runner, and Jessica's going down Gilbert Road chasing this little kid, and when we were building this building, the architect, who was a church guy, he says, man, you need to have the little alcoves in each of the classrooms. And I thought, doesn't it take space? And he says, no, it'll keep you in case you get a runner. And when he said get a runner, I knew exactly what he meant, so we put the little alcoves in there, and I hope it saves the runner. But runners, they're not running to anywhere. They're just running away from. And what Jonah was a runner. God told him to do something. He didn't want to do it, so he takes off. And we're going to talk about that in a little while. It's not running to somewhere. It's running from somewhere. When I was a little kid, my sister and I, Connie, I don't know if you remember. I've seen the pictures. I don't know if I remember the incident or you've seen enough pictures. And I was about 4, and Connie was about 2 or 3. And our parents were doing just not a very good job raising us. And so her and I were going to move to Texas. So we get this little trash can. I don't know what we had in it, but I'm sure we had something in it. And Connie was sitting in the wagon, and I was going to pull it, and they took our picture, because who's ever run away from home before? And yeah, we didn't make it to Texas. I don't think it was. I know neither one of us had been to Texas, but that sounded like a good place to go. And so that's what Jonah did. God tells him to do something, and he says no. Not no to God and everything. He's still a Christian. Heavens, oh yes. And he still goes to church if they had church back in the day. But he just says no to God in this area. And it's amazing that what we say no about is exactly what we want, is what God says no. And so we, maybe a relationship. I know a lot of people that are afraid to say yes to Jesus because you're afraid he's going to call you into some kind of a ministry. I remember I've told the story before as a young man. When I said yes to Jesus, I was sure that he was going to send me to Africa with a really ugly girl. And how many know when you're 16, you don't mind saying yes to Jesus? You don't want to say yes to Jesus and yes to that ugly girl. And so if when we say no to the Lord in an area, we usually adjust our theology. And we usually concoct things in our head that says, you know, it's not that wrong anyway. God gives us a free will, and I've just chosen to do this. And the whole time, you know what he's talking to you about, and you pretend you don't. Do your kids ever do that? Have your kids ever gone deaf on you? You're talking to them, and and all of a sudden, you're speaking another language. And they're saying, huh? No sabes? No español? No, I don't. And we do that with the Lord all the time. And so it's just saying no to God. Not that you don't believe. And know that you're, it's just the smallness of our parents. My word, they're such old-fashioned people. And smallness of that church thing. You know, down at that church, they believe such small things. And so really, that was written a long, long time ago. So really, to be, you've got to expand your way of thinking. Don't you have to grow mentally, Pastor? Yes. And so we adjust what we believe in. We adjust what we think the Bible says. And it makes room for our running. And so, reading Philip Yancey. And he says, we often confuse life with God. And what he was talking about is that life is rough. Life can be unfair. Life can be so wrong. And sometimes we confuse that with the Lord. And so think God's unfair. God's just too tough. And it's not true at all. And so Jonah, to some, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, is just kind of a myth. Come on, Pastor. Really? That this guy gets swallowed by a big fish for 3 days in the sea, and he lives to tell about it? Now, if that's too much for you to swallow, fine, don't. Get it, swallow the whale, Jonah. If it's too much. I just think it's amazing how the U.S. has divined a way to keep about 130 people under the sea for up to 6 months. We call it a nuclear submarine. Keeps people alive under the sea. And yet when we ask, think that the Lord could do the same kind of thing, we think, well, he couldn't do it on his own. So if the Jonah and the whale thing is too much for you to believe, I don't want to argue whether the truth, Jesus believed it. I mean, he quotes Jonah, or he refers to Jonah. So Jesus believed it. But if the Jonah thing is just too much for you to go, then fine, I won't make you go there. So Jonah's a prophet, and prophets are usually not very popular people because they're always saying things that people don't want to hear. Do any of you parents know what I'm talking about? Who's ever had the rolling of the eyes? I mean, parents can just be, oh man. Anyway, and so Jonah was kind of that way. And usually prophets had bad news. Israel was terrible about sinning and all that kind of stuff. And usually the prophets were sent to Israel. But this prophet, Jonah, was sent to Assyria, a place called Nineveh. Now, what Nineveh was famous for, if they had the Olympics every 4 years back in the day, Nineveh would be famous for they had the ability. They were really good at it for skinning people alive and keeping them alive. They had mastered the art. And as they would skin people, they could keep them alive longer than anybody else. And so God tells Jonah, go to them and pronounce judgment that they better turn around. God says, I see their wickedness. And so Jonah says, why don't we skip the warning and go straight to judgment? And God says, no, I'm going to go. And so Jonah says, no, I'm not going there. It's not no to God. It's just no to that part of God. God, I don't like showing up on Sunday, but I'm not going to do that. God, I don't mind being nice to this guy, but I'm not going to. Lord, if I trusted you with that, she'd run all over me. If I really treated my spouse like the scripture says I'm supposed to, she'd take it. If I really treated my husband like the Bible says I'm supposed to, really had toward him like you're supposed to, he would run all over me. You're kidding me, Pastor. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Trust God with my money. Are you kidding me? I'd go broke. So I'm saying we all run. We all develop little creative ways of thinking, and we all run. And so what Jonah does, I'll read it in a second here. Jonah buys a ticket to Tarshish. Now, Nineveh was 500 miles this way by land, and Tarshish was about 1,500 miles. It really is on in the coast of Spain. So what Jonah does, he heads exactly the opposite direction and says no, and we often do that with the Lord. Let's get to it. Number one, when we run from God, we often run to the strangest places. You know, if I were going to say no to the Lord, I would not go rock climbing. I would not go hang gliding. I would not go caving. You know where you crawl around in caves? If I'm going to say no to God, I'm going to stay on dry ground where it's safer. Because I know, have you seen them hang glide? Has anybody here been hang gliding ever? I just scares me the willies out of me. I can't imagine anybody doing that. And so let me read Jonah 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Remember the guys that skin you alive. Because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Now see, none of us would ever admit or even think about running away from the Lord. We're just not going to do that. And so he takes off and he went down to Joppa and he found a ship that was at that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and called and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So we say no to God. I've seen it all the time. No to God, because I'm not gonna do that. So what people do is they get divorced. Or perhaps they get married. Or perhaps they get divorced and then get married again. And that usually is an easy way to fix all your problems. How many of you know what I'm saying? That usually decomplicates life. And sometimes there's overlap. Who's ever, no, don't raise your hand. There's overlap between the divorce and the new one. And usually that's a good way to solve anything, because those situations usually turn out really well. I'm being facetious, obviously. And so we say no, and so he does a stupid thing. He heads to Tarshish. And when we run from God, we often run from the source of wisdom and truth. People run away from church. I don't think I'm talking to me about all that stuff. And so one of the things we do when we run is we stay away from church type stuff, family type stuff, people that know you well, people that know you over a long period of time, people full of wisdom, full of truth. And I tell you who guy that really understands you most of all is the guy or the gal waiting the bar at the club. Because I can really talk to them. They really understand me. Am I talking to the right people? How stupid are a bunch of new friends that don't even know you? That don't know your past history? That don't know your patterns? That don't know your cycles? That don't know how things operate? And you go to them for wisdom, and it floors me on occasion. It's the craziest place we go. New friends. Because we runners believe that our situation is very unique and unusual. Rugged individualist, marching to the tune of my own drummer, which happens to be everybody else's too. Does anybody think that's funny, being people that they really believe they're unique doing what everybody else does? I'm talking to you today because that's what we want to think. You know, I'm not one of those guys that stays between the lines, baby. I chart my own course, which happens to be the course that everybody else in that kind of situation charts too. And that's what runners do. That's the delusion we live under. We see ourselves as rugged individualists, outside the lines. Number two, runners are the last one to make the connection of our running and the chaos to our life. Our running and the chaos to our... We're the last one. Everybody else sees it. Your kids see it. Your parents see it. Your fellow church people see it. The running brings incredible chaos to your life. Look at the verse 4, Jonah 1:4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship was threatened to break up. Who believes the Lord sends great storms? Oh, no, Pastor. See, that's the devil. God would never do that. He just did it here. Sends a great storm. And a violent storm that the ship was threatened. I'm not saying that God doesn't care about your ship, but he doesn't care much. Verse 5. And all the sailors were afraid, and each one cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea. These guys were losing tons of money. Why? Because Jonah was running from the Lord. People in close proximity to you, it cost them. It cost security. It cost all kinds of stuff. When we run from the Lord, if I'm a pastor not willing to be obedient to what Jesus wants me to do, do you think that affects the rest of us? Yes, it does. Do you think that affects our families? Yes, it does. Affects my children, my grandchildren? Yes, it does. These sailors, I mean, they're not going to Tarshish because they like Tarshish. They're merchant people. They're trying to make a profit. And they think the ship's going to sink, so they're throwing their stuff overboard. And they threw the cargo in the sea to lighten the ship, but Jonah was gone below deck where he lay down and fell in a deep sleep. Verse 5, the captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call upon your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." He said, "We don't even care what God you call on. Give it a shot. Let's cover all of our bases." They're calling on whatever God they knew. And he says, "What's the matter with you?" Do you understand how you're affecting these sailors? You're sound asleep to what's happening, in complete denial of it, that any of us could act irresponsibly, run from what we know the Lord wants us to do, and it doesn't affect anybody else but me. That's crazy. Are you still with me? It's ludicrous. Well, grown man, I can do what I want to. It affects your children. Grown man, I can do what I want to. It'll affect your employees. Those you that work for you. Those that count on you. Well, it doesn't affect anybody but me. Yes, it does. These sailors were losing their cargo. Because good old Jonah decided he wasn't going to go to Nineveh. See, and others see the connection. Others see the connection to the chaos in your life. And it's easy. I always say, guys, it's easy to look out the window. It's hard to look in the mirror. To think that my overspending is going to create debt for my family. And that affects everybody. That's why I'm a Dave Ramsey nut. Help you out. I read Ramsey's book before the thing was ever created, and it was life-changing for me. That's why we have this building today, because we're Dave Ramsey nuts. And if your finances, I'm telling you, everybody needs to go through it at least once and then do what it says. So anyway, let's continue the story here. He said, pray to somebody. Verse 7. Then the sailors went and said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. People are really kind of superstitious, especially in the day. If there's something the matter, whose fault is it? I mean, it's God knows it's the government's fault. If the Democrats are in office, it's their fault. When the Republicans, and if they get in, it'll be their fault. So who's responsible for this calamity? They cast lots, and the cast lots, I mean, they threw dice, and the lot fell on Jonah. How about that? So they ask him, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. And he answered, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them. And they ask, what have you done? They knew that he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them so. Well, I'm not exactly as obedient as probably ought to be. You're running from the Lord and you're causing us all fits. Come on, Dad. Come on, Mom. Come on, Grandpa. Straighten up. No, it doesn't affect anybody but me. Yes, it does. These guys are scared that we would call it insecure. Nervous. Just can't seem to settle down. Can't seem to thrive. That's because a lot of times there's real chaos at the top. And it doesn't provide a shelter, it doesn't provide a covering, it doesn't provide safety for people who are trying to find security underneath. It's terrified him. He said, yeah, I'm really not doing what I'm supposed to do. Look at verse 11. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm down? And Jonah said, pick me up and throw me into the sea. He replied, it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Well, that's good that he took responsibility for it, but they're still in the storm. And these guys, they may not be good Christian guys, but they're not animals. And they said, hey, we don't want to do that. We're not going to throw you overboard. So look at verse 13. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land. They could not, for the sea went wilder and wilder than before. And it's not getting any better. And Jonah said, if you throw me over, it'll get better. And at first, the guys didn't want to, but after a while, they thought, well, you know, better him than us. What better one than for the many? Look at verse 15. And they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea was calm. Now, here's what I always thought. Think. We always kind of think when they threw Jonah over that he just sank. And he probably didn't. If they threw you over, you're going to tread water for a while. And so when they throw him over, the sea gets calm very quickly. So now the sea is calm and they're in a boat and 30 yards away is Jonah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, did you ever think about that? There he is, just out in the sea. Well, maybe we ought to pick him back up. And then maybe we shouldn't. So they didn't. And so look at the last verse, verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. God prepared a great fish for him. And I'm telling you guys, listen up. God will prepare a fish for you. I always say Nineveh looks pretty good from the bottom of the sea. If you've been around me at all, you've heard me say God will fix a fix to fix you. If you fix the fix before you're fixed, he'll fix another fix to fix you. God provided a great fish for Jonah. And don't you think for a heartbeat that God won't create the same kind of thing for you. My dear friend, that's why some of your lives are in a chaotic condition. Is you are running from God. Pastor, I'm sitting here in church. I'm watching you online. What more do you want? I don't know. But God knows how to put his finger on it. Some of you I know well. Some of you don't know hardly at all. I don't know what's going on with you. I don't know the issues of your life. And just because you walk through a hard time doesn't mean that God's causing it. But God will cause it if you run away from him. It's the Jonah principle. When you run from God, he does not abandon you. God's not done with you. He doesn't say, well, then forget you. Which takes me to number three. You can run from God, but you can't outrun God. You can run all you want. Run, 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 run. You can run from God, but you're not going to outrun him. You are not going to outrun him. He loves you way too much. My folks took a picture of us moving to Texas. You get out of the yard, into the street. They're not going to let you go to Texas. You wouldn't even get to Elliott Road. You can run from God, but you can't outrun him. Jonah 2:1, look at this. From the inside of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. I bet he did. See, in the next week, we're going to talk about the white flag prayer, the prayer of surrender. Jonah's at the bottom of a whale, at the bottom of the sea, in the belly of some kind of a fish. However God did, that's his business. He didn't ask me how to do that. However that happened, and Jonah cries out to the Lord. Now think about it. If my children are grown, if they were young and at home and still under my authority, and the toys they have, I know Game Boy is not in anymore. What's the latest? I mean, Xbox 360, is that the latest or is that an old one? Xbox One, whatever. I'd probably let them play. They're a lot of fun. They look like kids are good at that kind of stuff. But if if my fourth grader couldn't get his homework done because he was too busy playing Xbox or Xbox One or whatever, what do you think a good father would do? He'd say, now, Junior, because you can't get your homework done, you can't play Xbox until your homework's done. And if little Junior was so preoccupied with his toys that he was disrespectful to his mama and to me and didn't have any kind of time to spend with the rest of his family, couldn't come to dinner because he's playing the thing, what does any good father do? Say, hey, wait a minute. Son, I love you way too much to give you these toys and let it ruin your life. I mean, is that true? And if you say, well, they wanted to, of course they did. That's why you're the father. And he is going to pull toys until you can keep that within the proper parameters of whatever that is. So do you think that God Almighty isn't a good father that has no qualm about yanking toys from you? Do you really think that the Lord is that terribly concerned for my reputation? That if my character was being flawed by my conduct, that God wouldn't yank that in a heartbeat? I've learned that God is much more concerned for my character than he is my conduct, my comfort. Much more concerned for my conduct than he is my comfort. He would yank so fast, your head would spin. Because he's a good father. And he doesn't just let it go. That's what he did with Jonah. God creates this whole situation for him. And the poor guys that were in the crossfire of it. The sailors that lost it all. The sailors that threw things over and were glad to get back to land with their lives. Because Jonah was running from the Lord. Dave Ramsey says, you know, you can change your family tree for generations. What I'm really concerned about is not just my money and all that, but a family tree of this kind of, for generations. Thank God I made it. Woo! But it's not about me, it's about those who follow. Those that are in close proximity to me. See, Proverbs 3:11 says, my son, don't despise the Lord's discipline. And don't resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. It is a father, the son he delights in. As a father, the son he delights in. Discipline is, at the time, is no fun, is it? He said, don't despise the Lord's discipline. And don't resent his rebuke. Just hate it. Ah, you better watch it, bud. I think a lot of us run from God and don't even think that. We just think it's kind of Christianity light. And it's running. It's not being obedient. And you know it. See, I'm not trying to wildly guess what area it might be. No, you know it. Jonah knew he was supposed to go to the harshest, but he didn't. Didn't want to. God will always chase you down, not to pay you back, but to win you back. So when I say you can't outrun God, you can't, but he's not out running to get you. And when I get a hold of him, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He's going to be sorry. No. He chases you down, not to pay you back, but to win you back. He is a father that loves you deeply and cares very deeply about you. And though you can outrun him, you can run, but you can't outrun God. He chases you down, not to pay you back, but to win you back, to bring you back under the shelter of the Almighty. People, where you don't have to fight those battles on your own, where you do not have to make it in your own craftiness, in your own cunningness, in your own energy, in your own wit, but that God will open the doors for you. God will cause things to change that you spend a lot of energy doing. I know a lot of us, when we're kind of running from the Lord, we get really busy. Maybe get really busy doing very, very wonderful things. Oh God, I'm just so busy, busy, busy. And God says, no, you're not, you're running. I want you to stop. I want you to connect with me. And it was 750 years after this Nineveh thing that the great penalty for sin did come. His name was Jesus. And he paid the ultimate price. I mentioned it earlier. That the wrath of God was poured out on him. So when God hunts you down, when he sends the hounds of heaven after you, it's not to get you. It's not to punish you. It's not to pay you back. It's to draw you back. It's to win you back. That place that he's had for you all along. Truth that is, what started out as a thrill has now become an addiction. What started out with a lot of fun, so much fun, has turned into a debt that's killing you. What started out to be so incredible is now a nightmare. This little thrill you got, now it's an addiction. And it's about to eat you alive. See, and I think God says, come on back. Quit running. Quit running. And Jonah did. Next week, we're going to talk about the prayer that he prayed, a real prayer of repentance, a real life-changing prayer that says, Lord, here I am. Amen. Your family's hoping that you do. The rest of this church is hoping that you do. That we together might be the people of the Lord. It's not a just go, Pastor, go, boy, watch him go. Isn't it amazing what he does? Amen. We've got some next step cards. Going to take the offering just a little bit. I want you to write on the cards what God's talking to you about. And the reason I do that, I've said it before, is because we sit and we listen to sermons and say, wow, that's a good point, and yes, that's true, and how interesting. But I'm telling you guys, your life is going to be just like it was when you left, when you walk out the doors. Your cars are going to be there, hopefully. But your life is going to be just like you left it. Nothing's going to have changed. You've been in here for an hour, a little over an hour or so, whatever that time is. Nothing's going to change unless you do. And I know all the well intentions of, yeah, boy, I tell you, you're right about that. And I'm gonna think about that some more. What's your next step? What do you do with what you've got? So that's why we do these cards. I've been in church all my life, and we used to raise our hands. Sometimes we'd come forward. And that's fine. Nothing wrong with any of that kind of stuff. But this is in the hand of every one of you. And so, Lord, what are you talking to me about? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these dear, wonderful people in whom you delight and in whom you love. Father, for those of us that are running, those of us that want to pretend that we're not, but we are, Lord, I pray that today and during this series for the next couple weeks, we would come home. We would come home. I pray that in Jesus' strong name.